remember and accept. I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's word.
Good evening. Welcome. Well, birth and death can sometimes stop us in our tracks. It kind of untethers us from our moorings. Maybe death more than birth. And we tend to look around for some stability during the big moments of our life. We're reading a text in the class now on the Eightfold Path, and Bhikkhu Bodhi starts off saying that the search for a spiritual path is born from suffering. Carlos Castaneda said that spiritual practice starts when you contemplate your own death. So one of the things that kind of jostles us and nudges us to the front door of spiritual practice is our feeling out of alignment with the universe, real sadness. I know my father died a year ago, and despite the fact that it was he died of cancer and it was time for him to go, at his death, there just really the order of the universe for me kind of changed a little bit, and there was some real adjusting and some real sadness. I came here in the beginning of '93. In the midst of the HIV crisis, and had spent so many years with my own fears and real grief from the loss of so many friends. So it certainly was a significant cause and condition for the beginning of my practice here at Santa Cruz Zen Center. The wooden plank out there hanging on the porch is called the han, and it calls us to attention in sesshin when we to bring us into the zendo to meditate. And on that han, the lettering is kind of worn out now, but the poem is, great is the matter of birth and death, quickly passing, gone, gone. Awake, awake, don't waste time. So it calls us to practice. It calls us to practice with the great matter of birth and death, of our very existence here, the existence of our loved ones. And as we have all experienced, I'm sure, time is quickly passing, and don't waste time. Right now is when to examine this moment, this body and mind. So, as I've looked at this, that fascicle that we looked at last year came to mind again from Dogen. the Ocean Mudra Samadhi. Let me just start with refresh people's minds. Buddhas and ancestors continuously maintain Ocean Mudra Samadhi. While swimming in this samadhi, they expound, realize, and practice. Traveling through water includes journeying deep along the ocean bottom. The ocean differs from the sea of birth and death. This ocean differs from the sea of birth and death, where Buddhas vow to guide beings drifting in birth and death to the shore of liberation. Each Buddha ancestor breaks through his own intellectual thinking and passes the barrier individually. This is done only through the power of the Ocean Mudra Samadhi. So Dogen is asking us to keep firmly on the solid ground of the ocean floor, even while we are dealing with the waves, the tornadoes, storms on the surface, where it's pretty chaotic. We can still, dealing with our life of birth and death, keep a good solid foundation on the ocean floor. He says, this is a little different than the Good Samaritan who might help you out and kind of bring you laterally to a peaceful island. Dogen is saying the Buddhas and ancestors want to pull you deep, want to remind you that you've got your feet firmly in the deepest part of your being. He uses the image in this fascicle that the ocean is kind of this primordial soup with all the elements needed for our life there, floating in this great ocean, and that we're all connected in that. I mean, we're all, our lives are led up on the surface like little individual waves, but all of us share this common source, the great ocean, with all the elements of our lives carried away by tides floating around in this great ocean. Sometimes these elements come together and a person arises. And sometimes the elements change a little bit and we're a little different. I like to think of the clamshells. They're all made out of calcium carbonate, and the little clam embryo just has chemicals and enzymes and DNA to attract calcium floating randomly in the ocean, to just attract it, pull that little bit of calcium down, and that becomes part of the building block of the shell. So we have all the elements that sometimes just come together and we're this form. This form appears, and it's going to change with every storm, with every tide, but it comes together as this body and mind. And sometimes those elements disperse. Just like when the clam dies, then the clam shell slowly disintegrates and the calcium, the elements of the cell, of the shell, just get dispersed back into the ocean. So sometimes form disappears. We can say, there goes some of my cartilage, and now I'm hurting a little when I go down to bow. Or what do you know, here comes that insight that I've been looking for this problem for such a long time. It's finally coming my way. So elements are constantly arising and dispersing. Form is constantly arising and disappearing. Just watching the elements of our life, just watching our body, just watching the thoughts as we sit here in meditation, we have a little less attachment to it because we realize that those elements aren't so attached to us either. They've just come together right now because of the causes and conditions, and they're going to disperse with the next set of causes and conditions. So our meditation, and specifically in this fascicle, our ocean mudra meditation, our meditation that the elements of our body and mind are just coming together, and they also pass away, and we are transformed. This is our source. This is the way we are, and we become a little less attached to this body and mind when we just look at it, when we just look at what's happening in our lives. And Dogen asks us to do this meditation, this ocean mudra meditation. We're just in the ocean here, arising and transforming. Suzuki had some similar ideas. He has a whole chapter, a whole lecture in here called Mind Waves, sticking with the watery theme. When you are practicing meditation, do not try to stop your thinking. Let it stop by itself. If something comes into your mind, let it come in and let it go out. It will not stay long. When you try to stop your thinking, it means you are bothered by your thinking. Do not be bothered by anything. It appears as if something comes from outside your mind, but actually it is only the waves of your mind. And if you are not bothered by the waves, gradually they will become calmer and calmer. So you just look at those waves, and they become calmer and calmer. Without knowing your origin of things, we cannot appreciate the result of our life's efforts. I think that line reminds me of, without being st- steady on the ocean floor, our origin. We can't effectively deal with the waves on top. Our effort must have some meaning. To find the meaning of our effort is to find the original source of our effort. We should not be concerned about the result of our effort before we know its origin. If the origin is not clear and pure, our effort will not be pure and its result will not satisfy us. When we resume our original nature and incessantly make our effort from this base, we will appreciate the result of our effort moment by moment, day after day, year after year. This is how we appreciate our life. So we've been in lots of stormy weather in our lives, I'm sure. And Dogen and Suzuki are encouraging us to remember our origins, the elements free floating in the ocean, and to be firmly planted in this ocean so that the efforts, the practice that we do in our life on the surface, the relationships, our problems at work, our efforts at work, can be appreciated. I like the fact that Suzuki says, this isn't just about dealing with life. This is really about appreciation. This some kind of joy or compassion comes up as well when we are practicing this ocean samadhi of coursing firmly on the ocean floor. I think sometimes we get pretty attached to a certain set of elements, this body and mind. We're glad that these certain elements came together right now. We want to hold on to them. We want to hold on to the perfect weather that we had today. We want to hold on to some relationships that we might be having. But Dogen says, still, even when those elements are lining up pretty good, can we remember that the elements are coming together and we're appearing right now, and we're also going to be changing moment by moment, that we don't have particular elements that we can call our own, but we're actually the whole ocean. When we've got our feet firmly coursing along the bottom, where the whole works there coming together. We're this whole that we share with all the people around us. Elements are coming together and they're appearing, or their situation is appearing because of elements that are coming together. And also will be dispersed at some point and new forms will arise or disappear. The Reverend Malcolm Boyd just died of natural causes last week at age 91. He was one of the first Caucasian clergymen to speak out about voting rights in the early 60s to his congregation. And in the mid-70s, he came out, he introduced everyone to his partner, and has spent the last 35 years active in gay rights organizations. He said, "The single great war in my life has been against fragmentation and for wholeness." So even in his Episcopalian tradition, he was talking about recognizing the connections we all have, the elements we all share, the arising and disappearing of forms in our life. So he was encouraging us to look for that wholeness. We might struggle like we chant in the mornings with the likes and dislikes in our mind, the picking and choosing. But this ocean mudra meditation, remembering our origins, remembering our wholeness, remembering our connection, is how we appreciate life, is how we experience the wholeness. This year, we'll be studying the middle way, which is one term that's used for Buddhism in general. And we've seen from our class on Sunday that the Buddha describes the middle way as the practice of the Eightfold Path, of watching our speech, watching our actions, making sure they're in accord and in alignment with the great function, the total dynamic function of the universe. In that sutra, the Buddha says that there's two extremes that he's practiced. That he practiced with great luxury and desiring fine food and beautiful clothing when he was living in the palace with his family as a young man. And the other extreme was that he was a wandering mendicant monk, really minimizing his worldly possessions. And he said, you know, neither one of those was the way to go. And so that's another definition of the middle way, of watching desire in our life as it arises and passes. And I'd like to think, too, that this ocean mudra practice of remembering our elements appearing and disappearing, remembering the non-particularity of these elements, that they're coming together because of causes and conditions in the whole universe. Remembering that we all share the same elements, that the clamshells of our life are all picking out the same calcium that's floating by. Remembering that wholeness might also be the middle way. Accepting the elements as they appear, not holding on as causes and conditions change and elements disappear. Dogen goes on to say in this fascicle that this arising and this disappearing, especially the disappearing, is our compassionate bodhisattva practice. Disappearing has been magnificently expressed as countless hands and eyes of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. It is unsurpassable nirvana. It is called freedom from attachment. It is called the abiding place. So not only is Dogen encouraging us to watch the arising and the disappearing, he's saying, you know, that's where we need to live, especially that disappearing place, that not holding on. And of course, that's what the Buddha was saying in the setting in motion the Wheel of Dhamma Sutta, to watch our desires, watch how tightly we're holding on to the elements as they appear in our life. With this open hand, with our ease of letting go, we're seeing that it's the universe that's supporting us. It's these ocean tides. It's as if Avalokiteshvara were just saying, you know, it's just the up and down of the waves. It's just the up and down of the tide. The ocean will support you. Just relax into this practice, into this meditation. Curl up your body into this posture and just settle deeply on the floor of this ocean and feel those currents as they nurture you. And this is how the ocean is a little different from the beginning. This ocean is different from the sea of birth and death where Buddhas vow to guide beings drifting in birth and death to the shore of liberation. It's not just making a person feel better with our bodhisattva vows. It's giving them that sense of fearlessness that the universe is already supporting and nurturing them. Dogen reminds us that the Lotus Sutra says, I am always in the ocean expounding Dharma. Or maybe as Avalokiteshvara, I am always in the ocean supporting and nurturing and helping you develop fearlessness. The Lotus Sutra actually was saying, whenever I'm in the ocean, I always preach the Dharma. But Dogen couldn't tolerate the fact that sometimes you're in the ocean and sometimes you're not. Dogen really wants us to remember that we always have our feet on the bottom and that we're always the elements arising and falling away. So we experience the great matter. We experience birth and death. We're a little off balance for a while until we feel those ocean currents supporting us once again. We certainly can experience sadness and joy in our life. We can experience the grief and the anxiety and the out of alignment. But gliding along the bottom, abiding there, welcoming the arising of form and the disappearing of form, is also going on as we think that we're being jostled back and forth by storms. And this ocean mudra samadhi, remembering our posture at the bottom of the ocean, is our liberation from suffering. So maybe we can talk a little bit about the waves we've experienced, how we've guided ourselves through the storms of our life with practice or without, or what other sources of nourishment we've called on during the storm. Netty.
Sometimes I ask myself, could I be okay to die today? When I can answer yes to that, I feel good. And if I feel like, oh no, I'm not dead, I kind of, if I'm being unskillful, then I'd have regrets if I died today because I'd be something unskillful. So I find that idea of having death close to me very helpful in just noticing not just about my behavior but my thinking. You know, I'm thinking in a way that's not really that enlightened. You know, the thinking that I would not want to die that day, because I want to correct that error.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of that, and when you talk about having a feet on the bottom of the ocean, that initially felt like a bit of an unpleasant image, because I was thinking, well, I wouldn't be able to breathe.
You're very tall.
You're very tall. But then I thought, you know, just breathing in that water. And in a sense, that's like just being completely accepting of what is and just breathing that in. You know, and that feels like a dying as well. But then I found that it was a lot easier to kind of resonate with, just having the whole water being inside me and full of it and it's full of me.
Mm-hmm. It's a great image. Elements coming together and dispersing, and you know, life coming out of the ocean has been with us for a long time. And just to have a meditation that includes that. You know, what is this space? He actually gives a little exercise that when the elements come together, I appears, but you don't say I appear. It's kind of you don't kind of reach out for it, and so. You know, what is this meditation? I'm sitting here on the cushion, but I'm letting thoughts go. I'm not so attached to the five skandhas as I was before I sat here. I'm less attached to pleasant feelings. I'm less averse to it being stuffy in here. You know, what is that when you arise in this position, but you don't say, I'm here? So it's a great koan. Thank you. Liz.
Well, I tend to see probably everything that usually my response to water and swimming is just not that worth the air, you know. But somehow it is incredibly soothing. And maybe it's the archetypical coming from the ocean, but maybe somehow the image maybe there's some actual physical manifestation of the way things are connected is like the fluidity of water, or we pick up on fluidity more than an image from air or something. But I found it just very restful, a way that came to mind, shift over to, you know, just constant arising and coming apart.
Mm-hmm. Or it's like, you know, when we're tossed around body surfing, and we've got no control, but if we can figure out how to dive to the bottom, you know, underneath the wave, you can actually kind of swim and have a little bit more control of your life. Another koan asks us to find the one who is not busy. So we can find any image that might be comfortable for, you know, when we're in the midst of being shook up, where can we find the stability and the support and the nurturing that we need? And that we already have. And so, you know, other images might come up that are more comfortable than being at the bottom of the ocean. But Suzuki is using, you know, that image of being in touch with our origins. And the one who is not busy is described as already there. So find an image that where do I abide? What calm, tranquil place do I abide in? Thank you. Stan?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that even if we are not unashamed, we go to the store and try to turn a truck or a farmer or all that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see that often and realize how many beings are supporting us all the time for something.
Yep. Yep.
And help us be grateful for that and realize that.
May we dedicate the merit of our meditation, sitting on the bottom of the ocean, remembering the Reverend Malcolm Boyd. May his practice of wholeness go on endlessly. Our beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma